You're listening to Radio Autonomía on Berkeley Liberation Radio. And we're here with folks from the 5050 crew, collective doing work in the South Bay and specifically in San Jose. No? Yeah. We wanted to just start off, if you all could describe to us, just tell us what 5050 crew is. As best you can.
Okay. I'll go. All right. Well, 5050 was a small collective of people who just came together around 2010 to address some of the issues that were going on concerning youth and people of color and students in San Jose. And we came together kind of to talk about what was going on, what were some actions we could take to, you know, deal with it, and how we could inform the general population of what was going on.
In San Jose?
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you tell us a little bit of the history of the name?
All right, well, the name kind of just is significant in a term that everyone puts a bit in. No one's really, you know, you don't really have like ask this person for this or this person get permission for that. Yeah. It's we're all contributing.
Right. In equal parts.
Yeah.
Right? 50-50, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, maybe you all can each talk a little bit about what initially brought folks together and kind of give your own perspectives on what brought you all together.
We first started out coming together, really seeing the struggle in San Jose, seeing how people were being mistreated, certain situations in schools. That's what really brought us together, which has kept us together throughout the time. But I came to 5050 when I started seeing people who thought like I did. They didn't really think in that whole idea of, oh, it's normal for someone to get kicked out of class because they did something small, but they're going to get higher consequences because of their record. So we came together because we have, like our name, 5050. We all have contributions to try to help the bigger struggle. Yeah. We're all working together to try to change what we see as wrong, which we actually have our three intolerables, which are abuse and neglect of youth, criminalization of youth, and bystander syndrome. Okay. And later on we can talk more about that.
Yeah, that would be perfect. What about you, Ian? That's all right.
My name is Matthew, and I'm 14, and I go to, I went to Ocala, and
just tell them what happened.
Yeah. And, when I went in the class, the teacher was standing, and he, I was sitting down by a project another kid did, and, and the teacher said, don't step on the project. And I was laying down, and I told him I'm not. And he yelled at me, and he said, get up. And I said, no. And so then he walked up to me, and he grabbed me, and he told me, get up. And when he grabbed me, he stepped on the project. And I was like, how are you going to tell me to not step on the project when you stepped on it? And he kept on yelling at me, so he threw me outside. And then I told him, fuck you, and I kept on cursing at him. And then he said, shut up. And then he told me, I know you want to hit me. Swing. Go ahead. Hit me. Hit me. You don't want a piece of me. And I was like, I don't want to hit you because I'm going to get in more trouble. And then I went to the office. And then as soon as I went to the office, I went to go call my parents to tell them, you know, it's not fair that somebody can, like, tell you that. And then they're going to, like, they're going to try to get you in more trouble. So I, like, thought to myself, and I was like thinking that, you know, I'm just gonna get in more trouble if I hit him. So I said no. So I went to the office and I tried to call my parents, and then they grabbed my arm and they said, you're not calling your parents, you're not allowed, da da da. And I was like, how am I not allowed to call my parents when, like, you're, like, instigating me and telling me to punch you and doing all this, like, assault? And then they said, go ahead, push me. And then I pushed him. Well, I like didn't want to, but, like, she grabbed my arm, so I pushed her. And then she said that I hurt her really bad and she's injured. And then the cops came and three teachers restrained me, and then the cops arrested me.
So what was a minor incident turned into the cops showing up and this had to do with kind of, I mean, I've seen this happen before. I worked in middle schools also, where kids get turned into kind of deviant, sort of criminal like, you know, roles, and you get treated with that kind of respect. And I imagine that you met up with other folks who had also been treated like that and felt like you wanted to do something about it. Is that right?
Yeah.
What about you? How did you?
Well, yeah, that's the sort of stuff that, you know, we try to fight, because see, it starts at a really young age, but no one ever talks about it. There's, you know, you never see it, any teachers coming out and saying, "Oh, guess what I saw at school today," and they bring it up, you know, like, you know, big important meetings they have. You know, like a lot of schools have like those where they have like they send students home early so they can all converse together. Right. And you know, I highly doubt that any of that goes on, saying, "Oh, this happened with this incident, the student was, you know, abused and thrown out and arrested." So I mean, I came to 50/50 because I kind of at a certain point while I was in high school kind of had like a really big epiphany about what's going on in my community, and it was around the time that I had come back to my my home high school, because I had originally been kicked out of it and sent to another high school, which was a continuation high school. And eventually I got kicked out of there by an administrator who was infamous for that, for expelling students for no particular reason. And he himself has just been transferred around schools because of that. So I was sent back to my home high school, and around that time I realized that I had to, or I didn't want to just stand by and do nothing about it. I felt like, you know, my rights had been infringed, that my right as a student, you know, had been really, really damaged by the school system. So I decided, you know, I would try to do something about it. Yeah. And I started meeting up, with all these people, and they started introducing me to, you know, all these other people, and I kind of got into that mentality of I'm going to change something however I can.
Right. And did that lead to, I'd heard that you all do like a teacher watch kind of thing. Is that what led to that kind of project, the teacher watch? Maybe you can explain a little bit about teacher watch. I mean, we know about cop watch. There are a lot of folks who do that. They watch the cops. So that there's somebody who's policing the police. So maybe you can talk a little bit about teacher watch.
With teacher watch, we took a lot of the inspiration from the cop watch, from the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense. We figured that if we could get enough information on the teachers in our schools, we could use it eventually, whether it be for leverage or proof or just for informational purposes. We could show that, yes, it is going on, so we could raise an awareness in our community that maybe teachers might be putting on a front. They're not always what they show, so we need proof, some backup information to show that there is something going on in our community and it needs to stop.
Right. And so how do you all do that?
Well, there's different ways. We simply ask you to record it any way you can. You can write it down in a notebook, put down the date, what happened, if you want, what teacher, what school. Or you can even do it with your phones. I mean, kids record fights at schools all the time. You pop out your phone, record it, try not to get caught, and if you can send it to us, email us, as the more information we get, the better.
Yeah. Great. What other sorts of projects do y'all work on or are currently thinking about working on or maybe in the future?
Well, we've done a number of different things. We've had workshops.
Yeah.
And we, you know, kind of, you know, talk about, you know, our rights as, you know, as students, our right as people, you know, just on the streets, like against police, like, you know, when a police officer approaches you, what do you do? You know, you stay calm. We try to, you know, really tell you what your rights are, and let you know that these are your rights as a citizen, as a human being, and as a person. We've done a number of different things besides that. Like, we've met up with other collectives as well. We've gotten to know a number of other collectives. You know, we like to keep in contact with other groups, kind of to show that, you know, everyone can contribute to a better future. And we've done movie showings, mm-hmm. where we show, you know, films, and they're just kind of to illustrate, you know, the history of people, history, you know, people who struggle, right. And it's also, you know, another form of really, you know, showing more bigger masses of people what's going on.
For sure. sure. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the, not just the films that you show, but maybe some of the political influences that you all kind of take from in your inspiration for organizing amongst yourselves.
Right now, we decided that we're gathering this knowledge from Teacher Watch, and we have all these stories to tell that we started our newsletter. And our newsletter actually came out in winter of 2012 that we're planning on making another one. And it just embodies who we are. It was our first newsletter, so it has our story as 5050. It has a story of one of our members who experienced something very unfair in the school system. It has our vision, most of your rights on there, that mostly on campus, rights, and also a call to action, because we are planning on expanding and we are meeting up with other people, and we actually take after the Zapatistas with encuentros. We're planning on reaching out to as many people as possible and seeing if we can join together in the struggle. So that's our newest project.
Okay, great. You know, every collective, I think, and every project comes up against its own particular kinds of challenges and struggles, and also opportunities. So maybe you could, you know, talk to us a little bit about the particular kinds of challenges, struggles, opportunities that you all come up against as you do your work.
Well, one of the biggest challenges, especially around a group focused around protecting youth and helping youth, is the youth themselves. Many of them just don't see a reason to get involved, especially personally involved. And with those who do want to get involved, another big issue is, I'd say it would be their parents, sort of try to drive them away from that. You know, we have had that happen.
How so?
Well, it's just in other ways. They just don't like them. You know, they don't trust people they don't know.
Yeah.
They may feel like the people who are doing the work are just trying to, you know, just get out of doing actual, you know, work, or get out of working hard, or just victimizing themselves. So there's all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, and then a lot of collectives, you know, can also just get harassed by, you know, people who have authority and just say, oh, what are you doing? You're just causing trouble.
Sure.
So there's a number of different obstacles.
Right. What sorts of opportunities do you see for those challenges or those struggles to open up kind of possibilities?
Well, throughout struggle, there's always opportunity. You always see the group of children in school that maybe aren't looked upon as the brightest kids or the good kids, the A students. So when they're in the situations that they finally realize that, no, it's not normal, they're not that bad, and they might be treated unfairly, that's when they're really starting to reach out, and that's when we try to come in and be like, listen, we can do something about it. You don't have to just sit there or cuss your teacher out or not go to school, because really you're just doing what they want. Because really, if they're telling you that you're not going to do good in life, why would you not go to school and prove them right? So through our struggles, through our everyday conflicts that we find in schools every day, we're trying to reach out to those people who really want to do something, really want to make a change in their communities and in their school systems.
Well, that's great. I read in your newsletter that, I mean, you talk about sort of creating the world that you envision, right, and doing that proactively. Maybe you can talk a little bit about kind of what that world that you envision looks like. I mean, you don't have to have, like, the answer to all the world problems, but, you know.
I mean, well, you know, the world that we envision is kind of, you know, in general, just the world where people respect each other, where no one is seen down upon, you know, because we live in a world where it's okay for someone to be, you know, over somebody else, for someone to have, you know, large amounts of authority over people, you know, especially young people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, like a teacher yelling at a student is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in that picture. But a student saying, no, I know my rights, and you're not allowed to talk to me that way, there's a very big taboo around it, like, oh, you can't be doing that.
Right.
So world we envision is where a student has just as many rights as the teacher. And, it's, you know, that's the big picture, is just mutual respect for everybody.
Right.
One of the big lines in our vision is actually that we envision a world where where our lives are liberated from oppression and domination, and where the people we love do not have to die in order to live. So in my eyes, that's a very big line, because it tells us that we envision a world where you don't have to go through all these struggles and be treated like you are less. Right. We see people every day kill themselves over a job and get paid scraps and really nothing. So what we envision is equal opportunity for everybody in our communities. We can work hard and live our lives. We don't have to die to live.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming in and telling us a little bit about the 50/50 crew. If folks want to get more information, or if they want to get in touch with you all or get involved, where should they look you all up?
Well, we have our Google Groups, and that address is 5050crew, 5050crew at googlegroups.com. And we have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/5050crew.
Great. And is there a, did you say an email address?
Yeah, the Google Groups.
Oh, perfect. Cool. So we can put that on our site and let people know. I do remember that you had said that you wanted to talk about the three intolerables.
Okay.
Did you want to mention those real quick?
Sure.
It slipped my mind, and I think that's an interesting thing to point out.
It's fine. Over time, we came together with our three intolerables, which I've mentioned before. We have abuse and neglect of youth, which is really just the idea that, children are either constantly bombarded by people who think they're lesser, or just think that they're bad kids, or those students that are simply just ignored.
Right.
So that's pretty much the idea of abuse and neglect of youth. We're trying to stop this through our teacher watch, because then we can show what the teachers are really doing to harass or just neglect these children. So we are asking for people to help us with our teacher watch. So if they can get in contact with us through our email or our Facebook, they can send us their stories or maybe just what they've recorded that has happened in their schools. We also have criminalization of youth. And it's the name explains it all. If you're dressed differently, if you act out or in their eyes are defiant, they label you as a criminal. It doesn't matter what you do, or even if you're having problems at home, you're automatically a criminal. I think that we need to reach out and really make people realize that maybe they should take the time to look into what's going on in the person's life, because I might just not be happy one day in a bad mood or don't feel like dressing up and wear sweats to school, and all of a sudden I look like a thug or a gangster and now I'm a criminal. So we're just asking people to really open up and listen to our youth in the Bay and in schools. The other one we have is bystander syndrome. Bystander syndrome is pretty much asking you to step out. The things that are going on around you that seem to be normal nowadays really aren't. When you see a child get yelled at by a teacher, it's not normal. We're asking somebody to maybe participate in teacher watch or say something about it. Don't let it go on unspoken of, unrecognized. We need to stop making everything that's going on around us seem normal.
Right.
And then also wanted to add, we're getting involved with various groups throughout California, and there's actually going to be an anti-police brutality conference coming up in Southern California in Oxnard around April 28th or 27th.
Yeah.
And so we really want to, anyone who wants to be involved with that conference, it's in the beginning of organizing. We're really getting community members together across the state from different regions to get organized and build a network of people to go against, to say, no, police brutality is not okay, and really support each other. And so we definitely will have more information. We can maybe give you guys as it comes near with the flyer and info to spread the word, people who want to get involved and attend the conference in Oxnard.
That would be fantastic. Again, thank you all for coming in and talking to us, and we hope to hear more from you all and to keep us updated on your projects as you do your organizing. We're going to go to a quick musical break, and then we'll be back with Jess from Critical Resistance to talk a bit about anti-policing measures and to talk a bit about police brutality, and also focus a little bit on the Bratton appointment to the OPD. So we'll take a musical break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Dijeron que mi mente fue a viajar a otro planeta. Mantengo bien secreta la sazón pa' mi receta. Ni más político, ni menos metafórico. Escriba más en pro de lo antiheroico. Muchos mantienen relaciones diplomáticas con miedo a los embargos y reacciones automáticas. Mi voto